Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. This week, we'll be talking with Larry Woody, who is a blind auto mechanic. And you might think that's a bit unusual, but what's even more unusual is that Larry actually races some of the cars that he works on.
We'll talk with him about how he's able to do all that and about some of the accessible computer programs he uses to help him. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Larry Woody.
My blindness was due to an auto accident. And 3-4 days into my hospital stay, only my daughter or my wife was sitting there talking with me, and a psychologist came up to me in my hospital bed and asked me if we could talk for a little bit. I said, yeah, sure, what you got? And they want to know how I was doing. I said, I'm sitting on top of the world. The gal, she got really quiet, and the look on her face was pretty good, I guess, you know, because from what I've been told. And she says, well, how can you say you're sitting on top of the world knowing you're going to be totally, permanently blind the rest of your life? And, you know, you do the leg check, you know, both legs are there, both arms there. You know, I did the pat down on the body. Well, as far as I can tell, I'm still all here. And I said, I've got what little mental capacity I had before the wreck. I think I still have all of it. I've got a wonderful family, a great group of friends, and I'm still here to harass them. I said, well, I've got a choice to make. Either put myself on top of the world and try to make the best of what's been dealt to me, or say I'm done. I can't do anything. Pick out my burial site. I'm done. And I'm not ready to do the second. And she sat there for a second. She says, well, if you can keep that attitude, you're doing better than most people will ever do. And I've kept that attitude. Then, like I said, it'll be 11 years since my accident. And I think a positive attitude is key number one in keeping people going. As I tell people, life's a choice. You've got the power in your life to make the choices of what you want to do and what you don't want to do. And I have made the choice to go on and do the best I can.
Well, we certainly can't say it much better than Larry did. But I guess when it comes down to it, everything's kind of relative. The problems you perceive you have are relative to how bad things could be. And life really is a choice. It's a question of how you deal with the situation that you're dealt with.
Turning now to our low-tech item, let's meet Larry Woody.
So can you start by introducing yourself?
My name is Larry Woody.
And you're an auto mechanic.
Yes. For 30-some years, I was a full-line auto mechanic and now a auto shop owner, manager.
Many of our listeners have visual impairments. I gather you do also?
Yes. I have been totally blind for right at 11 years now.
And what was the cause of that blindness?
Auto accident. Hit by a 18-wheeler chip truck when I was in my Toyota Celica.
Wow, it sounds like you're lucky you're alive.
Yes, very lucky. I had an opportunity to go and, as I still say it today, see the car 1.5-2 years after my wreck and actually crawled through the window, where the window was supposed to be, that was all busted out, down into the driver's seat, and that was the only place of the car that was not destroyed.
Wow.
Wow. That's just amazing. Having gone blind so suddenly, you must have had to learn a lot of new skills at once. How did you manage that?
I would start at 8 o'clock with the orientation and mobility, 8 to 10 with him, 10 to noon I would work with the computer tech, 12 to 2 I would go and work with the Braille instructor. She would in turn take me across town and drop me off at the computer software programmer, the All Systems Max writer. I would work with him from about 2:30 to 4:30, and then someone would pick me up there and bring me home. And I was doing that Monday through Friday.
And how long did that last?
I started that in late August, 1st of September, and continued that clear through December.
Well, you must have been a good student to pick up all those skills and be as successful as you are these days. You must have worked hard.
I worked very hard at it, as my vocational rehab counselor, she says, well, you don't let any grass grow under your feet. And I says, no, I'm on a mission. I don't want to sit at home and do nothing. I want to be back at work. I want to be back out in, as we call it, plugged into society. I don't want to be a couch potato the rest of my life. I want to get through this process. I want to get it done. I want to get it behind me, and I want to go on with my life and make the best of what I can.
Boy, that sounds like that was some process to go through. I gather the physical recovery lasted a long time.
I set myself up on a goal. My previous employer, my doctors, and a lot of the people that helped me get to where I am at now couldn't believe I was doing it, but I set myself up to where I wanted to be ready and able to go back to work January 1st of 03. And my accident happened April 16th of 02. I pushed and worked to where I was ready to go back to work. First working day of 03, I was on the phone to my employer at the time. I'm ready to come back to work. I've been released. I want to come back. And that's when he started dragging his feet and wasn't real receptive to hiring me back.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is how you can repair cars and run an auto repair shop totally blind. And we heard at the end of the last segment about how Larry's previous boss was a little bit reluctant to hire him back. Well, we're about to hear the rest of the story and what happened from there.
Larry, you had a lot of experience working with cars, I presume, before you lost your sight, correct?
For 30 years, I was a line mechanic in various independent auto repair shops until the point that I worked my way up to managing a auto repair shop. And that's what I was doing at the time of my accident that caused my blindness. And since then, I tried to go back to the shop that I was working at the time of my accident and blindness. The owner of the shop didn't really want to hire me back to do what I was doing. He agreed to bring me back just to do secretarial work, take calls and direct them to who they need to go to, and then to make what we call follow-up calls a week after the cars are done to make sure everything was done satisfactory. And that's what he wanted me to do, not what my job was prior to that. So that was the first indication that, you know, it's going to be hard for, at that time, a 42-year-old blind person to get a job in the automotive field as either a service advisor, shop manager, shop foreman, or as a mechanic. So 3 years later, my wife and I bought a small auto repair shop in our hometown of Cottage Grove, Oregon. And as the business has grown, I've got two full-time techs that do all the work now at the shop, and I do all of the day-to-day scheduling, ordering parts, invoicing, scheduling appointments, receiving the phone calls and talking with customers and dealing one-on-one with the customers while the guys do the repairs.
Although you're doing managerial work at the shop now, do you work on cars of your own?
Yes, I do. That's about how almost I do anymore is stay involved with it, you know, as far as hands-on, is at my home on my own personal cars and equipment.
And what kind of work will you do on your own car?
Well, I've got a 68 El Camino that I have been working on since 04. Well, I rebuilt the whole front end of it, new upper and lower control arm bushings, new ball joints. When I first bought the car, it was a non-running vehicle and got it up and running, pulled the fuel tank out of it, cleaned it all out, replaced all of the thinning unit, pickup tube, fuel lines, you know, just general maintenance and repairs on our newer cars. And then the old 68 El Camino, I do pretty much anything I want to on it.
To some people, it may even sound challenging with sight to work on a car because they don't know their way mechanically around it. But without seeing what you're doing, that sounds very challenging. Can you talk about what are some of the challenges and what makes it possible?
Some of the challenges, you know, is one, it helps to have enough knowledge of the car to know what parts are where, what you're looking for as far as, okay, so you want to change the spark plugs on the car. Every motor, every manufacturer's motor, spark plugs are kind of in a different spot nowadays. Back in the 60s, all the Chevys were pretty much in the same place. All the Fords were pretty much in the same place. You know, and each manufacturer were about the same.
So do you know this from your experience from when you were sighted, or do you feel around the car or have some sighted assistance to find things like that?
I know it from my past experience. Anything I try to do now is by feel, and or, you know, a lot of times my wife will come out and help me and give me directions, or, you know, if I was doing it at the shop, one of the guys would help me a little bit. A lot of it's by knowing general proximity of where things are at and what things look like as far as dealing with the parts on a day-to-day basis. That's one of the challenges of trying to do it with no sight, is knowing where you're looking and what you're looking for, and, you know, to keep your hands and stuff away from any hot or moving parts if, you know, you're working around a running motor.
It sounds like, you know, you've had a lot of experience with cars, so I can understand how you know the insides pretty well. But when you first lost your vision and then decided, hey, I want to still work on cars, that must have been a tougher transition.
It was a fairly tough transition, but not as bad as some people would think, you know, because a lot of things that you do on a car, in certain cases, you can't see what you're doing anyway. If, say, you're working up under a dash of a car as a sighted person, you got enough room to get your hands up in there and maybe to get up in there a little bit. But a lot of it's working by feel in a lot of certain areas. You are working by feel even as a sighted person.
You know, I often tell Nancy that about some of our home repair projects. So I'm blind and she's sighted, but there are some things that even if you're sighted, you really can't see what you're doing. And sometimes I have a better shot at accomplishing the task simply because I'm used to not being able to see what I'm doing.
And I've actually figured out which tasks those are, and I come get him. And I'm like, Pete, you have to do this, because he's a lot better doing the tasks where nobody can see what they're doing than I am, because I'm used to relying on my vision.
Uh-huh. And my family and friends and my coworkers, we joke about that a lot of times, is the fact that I can't get this to do it. I said, because you're trying to do it sighted. Here, let me do it. And boom, I'll get it done, you know, in a joking manner. In some cases, I find the same thing here around home, and my wife does too. There are certain things, like you said, that she'll just come and say, here, will you do this? I can't do it sighted, so let's let you do it.
Now, there must be some times when you do need some sighted assistance.
Oh, yes.
Where would that be?
Well, one is, you know, driving the cars, you know, as far as on the automotive side, driving them to get a feel of what's going on and to hear what's going on. To, you know, if for me to try to do it as far as any computer diagnostics, because that's all done through a diagnostic scan tool that is all basically computer-based. Now, one time I had one that I tried to get set up with like a JAWS program on it as a screen reader, but we never could get it to work right and to come around to where I could use it. So that's one area, you know, as a blind mechanic would need some more assistance is, you know, is, okay, read to me what's on the screen here, you know. And then, you know, when they get into the diagnosing and stuff, okay, well, I need to check this wire, okay. What color wire do I have here, you know, stuff like that. Because, like I said, the computer diagnostic end of it is getting tougher and tougher on the new cars. You know, the older cars, like my 68 El Camino, you know, while I pulled the motor on it, to have a buddy of mine rebuild it. And then I had my son-in-law and my son both. They're just kind of, you know, overseeing, make sure I've got everything out and, you know, make sure everything was right. And then when we put the motor back in, they were there just kind of supervising me, you know, yep, everything looks good. General guidance in some points, you know, you need a little bit of sighted help, you know, quite a bit of sighted help in some cases.
So that's interesting you talk about taking apart a motor. So I know there's lots of parts to doing that. And sometimes when people get an engine rebuilt by professionals who can see, there may be a missing part or you wind up with a screw that's left over after you put everything together. You ever wind up in that situation?
Occasionally. And I refer back to my El Camino a lot because it's the one I've done the most work on, you know, since my vision loss. Well, I did the interior of it. The new door panels, new window regulators, and all of that, and get it all back together, you know, and where'd this bolt go to, you know? And so you could take it all back apart again to make sure, okay, everything's there. So just to double check where I might have missed the bolt or come up with an extra one or put one too many in. It happens.
Well, I guess that can happen to anybody, and perhaps being blind, you learn to be a little bit more organized and systematic about what you do.
Yes, you do. And that's my day-to-day living and in all fields, you know, just in the house, around my shop at home, just everything is more organized now than it ever was for me in the past. Everything's got a place, and if I need to go find it, I need to know where it's at.
Same at our house.
Yep.
I'm curious, you mentioned about all of the new cars being different model to model to model. Do you have access to owner's manuals or repair manuals in a format that you can read?
I have access to what's called Mitchell. It is a nationwide parts and labor and repair program. Some of it will read right out of the box perfectly, and then some of it, you know, won't read it. So I do have access to certain things as far as manuals that I can read on the computer.
So I take it these Mitchells are the shop manuals that people use to repair cars?
Correct. They have several different ones. They have what they call the parts and labor estimator books, which they're either computer or you can get the hardbound books of.
So I guess it's nice that these books are actually available in electronic form these days, and you're saying by using JAWS and a computer, you're very able to find what you need in the books in terms of reference materials to assess the jobs that you're doing for people.
Correct. If it wasn't for computers, I wouldn't be able to do what I am doing today as far as managing the shop on a day-to-day basis and doing what I'm doing.
Well, I guess computers can be real enablers in terms of access to information.
Can you describe the shop management program you use?
It's the program that I do all of my scheduling of my daily or my jobs. Whatever's coming in for tomorrow or today, I've got it all scheduled out. Customer's name, address, phone number, year, make, and model of vehicle, all the pertinent information about the vehicle, and what we're going to do on it. That is another program that I use, and there's a gentleman that lives about 20 miles away from us that he writes that program. And I had an opportunity to use it for a year prior to my blindness. And then after my blindness, he went in and literally rewrote the program. And it is the only program that I know of to date that has a option in it for a blind service advisor.
And what's the name of that program?
That is called All Systems Max. Prior to it, it was all point and click with the mouse. Now, when you go to use this program, I go over and certain part of the program, I check the box that says Blind Service Advisor, and it takes the mouse away from the program, and it does it all by alt commands. And when we update this program anytime, then I've got to get together with a computer technologist who writes the scripts to make my JAWS program able to read his program.
Well, but that's great in this case that you happen to know the developer and they can put these access hooks in there to make it possible for you to use the program. And also that you know some people who know how to script JAWS.
Right.
I'm sure you've run into access issues with other programs, maybe some of the Mitchell books or other online resources that you use. Have you been able to connect with the developers to improve the access of some of these other tools that you need to use?
I have with the Mitchell program. What they do is they put out what they call Mitchell On Demand. And that particular program is set up to where it has parts and labor estimator and the repair procedures all in one program. I tried to use it with my JAWS program, and they wouldn't work together. So then they gave me an option of what they call Mitchell On Demand Direct. And so we accessed it through my computer, and my JAWS program would read it right off the get-go.
Well, that's tremendous, though, that you were able to connect with the developer. That, you know, really indicates the power of being proactive and approaching developers with a specific issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, you mentioned that when you tried to go back to work after losing your vision, you had problems with your prior employer believing that it would be possible for you to do this job. Have you run into issues with customers doubting your ability?
All the customers that I have got, they have been very pleased and impressed with what I'm trying to do here and what I'm doing. For the first few months, I've had some of them that didn't even know I was blind. And, you know, finally talking with them, you know, one of them came in one day. That's a little quick story. Guy had been coming in for a couple months, and he stepped up to the counter, and he had left his headlights on. And he says, I've got a headlight out that I need you to replace. And I says, okay, which one is it? And he says, well, it's the one that's out. Can't you see it? And I says, honestly, no. I'm totally blind. And he got, I mean, stone quiet. He says, no, you're not. He says, yeah, I'm totally blind. And he says, I never knew you were blind. So most of my customers have been really receptive and backed me and, you know, encouraged me to continue doing what I'm doing because they're very impressed with it.
Just when we thought we were finished interviewing Larry, he all of a sudden mentioned something else he did unusual.
Oh, and you haven't heard it all.
Okay, that wasn't our usual breaker tune. What we just played came from a YouTube video of Larry racing at the Willamette Valley Speedway. You got it. He was actually driving the race car.
I used to race cars before my blindness, and I've done it since my blindness.
As the driver or as a passenger?
As the driver.
Blind?
Uh-huh. If you go on to YouTube and type in White King Racing or Trash Car Racing, you should come up with a little white Honda Prelude number 177. That's me driving it.
How did you get into racing blind?
One of the guys I used to race with and against, he came up to me with the year of my wreck. But he says, hey, I want to change my car number. I said, okay. He said, but I'm going to use your number. I want to change it to 77. Fine with me. I don't plan on using the number again. I said, but there is a catch. He says, what's that? I says, I get to drive your car. And he got real quiet. He says, I'm okay with that. And I turned to my wife. I said, what do you think? She says, I don't care. He says, I know you're safe in that car. And it started off to be a joke. Well, a year later, I was in his car taking some laps around the same track that I used to race on. The only one in the car, but we did it by way of radio. I had an earbud in my ear under my helmet, and our head of safety crew was standing up in the flagman's tower. He would be talking to me, okay, Larry, you're going down the front straight now. You're coming into the apex of turn one. And he would just keep talking to me. You're going through turn one now. You might want to move a little bit up the track. Okay, looking good. Okay, you're coming into turn two. Coming out of turn two, you're on the back stretch. And just keep talking to me like that all the way around the track. And I did probably 10, 15 laps at, you know, first gear just at a nice, easy pace. Got it up to second and third gear and sped it up a little bit. And we did all this on a Friday night, just my family and a few of the track owners and a few of the track officials there. Well, one of the track owners, he says, would you do this again tomorrow night in front of the fans? And I said, yeah. I did it tonight, the first night for me, because I wanted to get back in the car and just feeling of being in that car. I said, but I'll do it tomorrow night for one reason, to show any of them people sitting up in there in the stands that says, I've got this blankety-blank disability. If it wasn't for this disability I've got, I wouldn't be doing something like this. And that was my point, that if this crazy blind guy can go out and take that car around the track blind, then there's not many disabilities that's going to stop somebody else from doing what they want.
So I understand you've also participated in other types of racing events.
They had, for the 4th of July, a demolition derby, where you take an old car, you take all the glass, chrome, and plastic off of it, take all the interior out of it, put the basic safety gear in it, and you go out and you basically run into each other until one of the cars quit. The same head of safety crew, I contacted him in the track, and I says, hey, what do you think? Sure, let's do it. So we built the car, and the head of safety crew and I, we went out and did a full night of racing. And they did the same format as a normal night of racing. And all of the racing that we did was what they call paint the pass, to where if I was in first place and someone wanted to pass me, they had to hit me to make it a valid pass. If they went past me without hitting me, they were still behind me in scoring points. And we did that full night of racing, and then after the main event, all of the cars that were still up and running did a full-blown demolition derby. And that night, out of 16 cars that showed up, We ended up third in our heat race out of four cars, fifth in the main, and third in the derby, with me doing all the driving and the head of safety crew sitting in the passenger seat telling me right, left, go, stop. So I've done that. I've done the trash car racing, same type of deal, all paint to pass racing, but no demolition derby afterwards, and three different races or three different facilities of it.
Anything else?
We still enjoy going to the Oregon coast and riding on the ATVs in the sand dunes. And I still get out and drive doing that with people telling me right, left, go and stop.
So an ATV, can you describe what that is?
It's all-terrain vehicle on the sand dunes by the ocean.
Seems to me it's one thing driving around sand dunes on your own and not seeing where you're going, but I'm surprised that you would race on a track with other people racing at the same time. How did that work? And weren't other people kind of reticent to race with you?
They were all very receptive to it. Like I said, I talked to the track owners, and every night of a racing, you have what's called a pit meeting prior to the races starting. And they come up to me and ask me if I felt comfortable doing it. I said, yeah, that's why I'm here. And they ask everybody in the pit meeting, do any of you have a problem with Larry here driving? He is a blind guy, and he's going to have a co-pilot with him to give him directions. Nobody had an issue with it. Everybody thought it was great. And they treated me just like another one of the guys out there, or gals, because there was guys and gals both in all of the racing I've done. And nobody's had an issue with it. Everybody's thought it was crazy of me and respected me wanting to do it.
Wow. And what kind of speeds are you typically attaining?
Probably 30, 40 miles an hour.
That's reasonably substantial. I wouldn't want to hit anything at that speed.
Speeds aren't, you know, you're not getting up to that big or high speeds.
Well, that's pretty nifty. I keep telling people that I'll do almost anything, but driving is the one thing I won't do, and I keep waiting for the Google car, but it sounds like maybe one can drive if one is blind.
As I joke with my friends and family, I would like to go to Bonneville Salt Flats and be one of the first drivers to do 200 miles an hour as a blind driver.
Well, maybe someone will hear this show or some other show you've been on and invite you, and we'll certainly have links to the YouTube videos where you're doing your racing on our show notes.
Okay.
And we'll also have links to the Mitchell On Demand Direct program and the All Systems Max program that Larry uses to run his shop. So if you want to get involved in auto repairs, you'll have all the tools you'll need. That's it for show number 1333. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about the brand new accessible TI-84 Plus programmable graphing calculator. This is a powerful tool for both students and professionals, and it is now fully accessible to the blind using both voice and haptic feedback. We'll talk with Sina Baram, who worked with Orbit Research and the American Printing House for the Blind to develop this exciting new product. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook at Eyes on Success and on Twitter at _EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.